Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I just want to share a little bit tonight about God's been speaking to me about. I have some great chats with God about life and community and where he would take his church. And it's been a lot stirring in my heart and a lot stirring in my spirit about God's promise he'll do and what I haven't seen yet. And I was looking through some old files the other day and reading some of my notes on revival and great awakening, and I started to question God about how long we've got to wait. Answered me. Didn't give me a time, so I'm not going to prophesy a time, but I just want to share some thoughts. Because there's more than just one or two things that stir me up. I'm not just the pastor of a church. I'm not just the husband of one wife. I'm not just the dad and the granddad. I've got fingers in a lot of pies and hearts into a lot of stuff that's going on, and it goes beyond community, it goes beyond this nation. And you know, God takes me to these places sometimes in my prayer time, and I just sometimes don't know how to handle what he's got planned for us. And so I'm just going to share on what he spoke to me the other day, and said, Lord, you want me to share this with the church? And he said yes. So here we go. This is what I wrote down. He said, it's not a river flowing from you unless it's in abundance from within you. Flow from the inside out. Join in with the outward manifestations of God. That's what he said to me. Can I just read that again? And I'm just going to flesh that out a bit. I've titled my message tonight, Like a Flood. I really believe that's what he was saying, that when he comes, it's going to be like a flood, like we have never experienced. I've looked at revivals, I've studied revivals, I've been to revival meetings right across the nation, I've stood with great men and women of God and prayed and believed that revival's coming, and revival's going to hit the streets of Victor Harbour, and it's going to flow through to Adelaide and all that. But my heart says, God, when? And he said, it is not a river flowing from you unless it's an abundance from within you. Flow from the inside out to join with the outward manifestations of God. So the Lord then took me to the book of John, John chapter 7. I want you to come there with me now, because it's a really interesting passage in an interesting time, both when it was written and where we are now. I just couldn't believe it. Well, I could, because it was God. I want to read verses 38 and 39 out of John chapter 7. I hope you get as much out of this tonight as I did and do and still do. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. But he was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, that had trusted and had faith in him, were afterward to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified or raised on earth. I love the way the Amplified just doesn't it leave it as the words of he who believes in me. But it says he who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me. As the scripture has said, from the innermost being, his innermost being, shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. I believe with all my heart it's the Holy Spirit that's within us that produces a flow that results in a river of living water. It's interesting when I started to study this out that we're not far away from that time again in history where this story took place. I want you to skip back to verse 37. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified. This is now on the final and most important day of the feast. Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, Trudy. He's not afraid to cry in a loud voice. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It was on the final and the most important day of the feast. Does anyone know what the feast is? It's the Feast of Tabernacles. Sukkot. And in 2017, on our Gregorian calendar, the Feast of Tabernacles is from Wednesday the 4th to Monday the 11th of October. So it's just coming up. But I want you to read into this more, because behind every story that the Bible tells is a story that's relevant to your future and your outcome and God's plan for your life. You see, traditionally at this time, it was the job of some of the Levitical priests to bring some water from the pool of Siloam to the temple to pour out as a water offering. This water was known in the Hebrew language as Hayim Mahim, or living water. I want you to picture the scene right now on the last and most important day of that festival, as the priests are carrying literal water to be poured out as the living water, your Lord, your Saviour, my Lord, my Saviour, cries out to the crowd and he says, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Didn't stop there, because the next verse he's still speaking. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of what? Living water. God wants to work through us by Holy Spirit to bring that living water to a place where it just doesn't drip, drip, drip like a tap, but it begins to flow continuously. Springs and rivers of living water. As this water is literally being carried past the crowd, Jesus cries out in a loud voice, declaring that faith in him would lead a person to have this living water in them, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, flow from them. Amen? This whole concept of this life-giving flow has more manifestations. But when the Lord spoke to me about this, I could see something very clearly. That this flow is also like a flood that nothing can hold back and nothing can resist. But let's look back again to what the Lord said to me. It's not a river flowing from you unless it's in abundance from within you. Flow from the inside out to join with the outward manifestations of God. Overflow, friends, by definition means that there is more than can be contained. I very cheekily said to my wife, lunchtime, she poured me a glass of water. I said, fill it. And she did. To the point where I was very nervously picking up that glass because it was so full. It was to the point of overflow. And she replied, you told me to fill it. But overflow, by definition, means that there is more than can be contained. It's not enough to try and be full, because that can lead to self-centered religion. But friends, overflow goes beyond you, goes beyond me, goes beyond us, and it affects those surrounding us. It was then that the Lord took me to Genesis chapter 11 and reminded me of the scripture about Noah's flood. So if you want to come to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 with me. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. It says in the Amplified, in the 600th year of Noah's life. Woohoo! There's a young buck for you. In the 17th day of the second month, that same day, all the fountains of the deep were broken up and burst forth, and the windows and floodgates of the heavens were opened. Can you see what happened here? That great flood in the time of Noah wasn't just the rain that fell from above, but also it was an increase in the fountains of the deep. What was the purpose of that flood? Things had gotten so bad on earth. The seed of mankind had become so corrupted that only one family on the entire planet was left alive standing. And that family was to be the only hope salvation for mankind to come through. That flood, friends, swept away every demonic blockage, every opposition, and everything else that was stopping God's saving plan for planet Earth. I want you to see here tonight, it was the combination of the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of heaven that were opened. Remember what the Lord said to me? Flow from the inside out to join with the outward manifestations of God. I got a few nods of affirmation when I talked about praying, crying out and pleading with God for revival, great awakenings. Been part of that. But many just look to an outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit from heaven and expect God to do it alone without us. But as I was listening to his voice the other day, it was in Jesus' words here in the book of John where he said that out of our innermost being, that the rivers would flow. It's not one It's not the other, but it's both, to create that true flood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the very love and the transforming power of God to cover planet Earth again. Amen? A flood that will result, and I quote Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14, a flood that will result in the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I want you to think that day, that when you and I yield to the Holy Spirit, we do it within by believing on Jesus, by faith, by trusting completely in Him. And when we are willing to let Him flow, a flood tide will rise. Combine that with His heavenly outpouring, and we will have a flood that will sweep away every demonic power, every demonic thing that is opposing you, that is opposing me, that is opposing good Bible-believing Christians, and it'll flood them right out of the way. Now come with me to Isaiah 28, because when God starts speaking, I just couldn't stop. I just kept writing down. Just an awesome time in His presence. When He said I could share it with you, well, that was a double whammy. In Isaiah 28, reading from verses 2 through to 6, it says, "Behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, like a tempest of hail and a destroying storm. Like a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, like a flood of mighty waters overflowing. Who will bring them down to the earth with His hand? The crown of the pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, will be trampled underfoot. And the glorious beauty is a fading flower which is at the head of the verdant valley. Like the first fruit before the summer, which an observer sees, he eats it up while it is still in his hand. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of His people. For a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back to battle at the gate." Now I know that in context this is the verse that Isaiah is speaking about, a judgment of Ephraim and Jerusalem. But I want us to see the pattern here, that the flood of God sweeps away that which opposes prior to the day that the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory. Friends, we have glorious days ahead. The Lord is coming. Not for a broken down, disheveled, ugly looking church, but He's coming back for His glorious church. And I believe that, friends, we are in a flow, we are in a flood, we are in an outpouring time from within the body of Christ, mixed with manifestations, mixed with demonstrations, and mixed with visitations of God. Are you ready? Could you stand up in His presence if His presence just flooded this room right now? Because He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to allow Holy Spirit to deal with what's going on within, to make us that pure and that spotless bride, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all wrong thinking, from all those attitudes, from all those things that are holding back revival coming to your family, to my family, to our friends, to our communities, to our nations. I want to encourage us all tonight to drink of Him. let the Holy Spirit be the flow of life that comes in to you and then flows through you. Let the living waters of Jesus be in full flood in your life. As we said this morning, we are in interesting times. Nobody's waving banners up the street. Listen to what God says. Listen to what the Christians are saying. We are copping the flak because we believe on God's word. Can I encourage us all? Believe all the more. Let the floodwaters come in so the floodwaters can come out. I believe as God moves on earth through churches just like ours, through people just like us, you and I will see things swept out of the way. Sickness swept away. Poverty swept away. Opposition swept away. Things that are working against the things of the Lord that He's told to do swept out of the way. Mountains that seem insurmountable picked up and cast into the sea. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. Are you? This is worth shouting about, friends. As Trudy's always said, has already said, His name is Jesus. And He is Lord over all. Amen. Friends, I don't know where you stand with your faith right now. I don't know where your depth of understanding and hunger for the things of the Lord are. But when He spoke to me these words, when He opened up my life and said, Lou, you're hungry, but are you hungry enough on the inside? Because I have my part in place. Now I want your part fully in place. When He took me to that passage in Genesis chapter 7, when He said it was the waters of the deep, combined with the very open rain from heaven that caused that flood over planet Earth, it just quickened my spirit that yes, I've been praying, yes, I've been reading, yes, I've been believing, but have I done it enough of those living waters that Jesus talked about in John? Have I been doing enough to bring transformation into my world? Let's just bring our Bibles back to Matthew chapter 16. I haven't got a long message tonight, but it's a heartfelt message from God. These would be one of the most key scriptures I go over and over again with God. Ask Him questions. Tease it out. Ponder it. Ask Him questions. It stems on the Apostle Peter's faith. I want to read from verse 13 in Matthew chapter 16. You know the story, you know the passage, you know the answers. Probably don't even have to mention it. Now, when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And He said to them, "Who do you yourselves say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, verse 16, "You are the Christ, Son the living God." The amount of times I ponder that passage, "You are the Christ. You are the anointed one, His anointing. You are the Son of the living God." See, we don't worship a stone statue. Don't stand before an altar that's got a Jesus still nailed to a cross. We follow after a risen Savior. Son of God who came to earth. Son of Man, he said to his disciples. Who do people say the Son of Man is? But I don't stop at that passage, because let's read on. There's so much in it. Jesus replied to Peter in verse 17. It says, Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood, men, have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. Now upon this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. Jesus said, I'll build my church based on that revelation that Peter verbally acknowledged, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus counter-acknowledged that it wasn't through man that Peter had this knowledge revealed to him, but it was a revelation within his heart. Jesus didn't wear a name badge. Jesus, Son of God. But Peter knew, because he had a revelation in his heart. Friends, if we're going to get on with the things of God, we have to start living on the revelations that God's placed on our heart. We've got to start building on those revelations based on what we've got from the Word of God by the Spirit of God. Because it doesn't stop here. Let's keep going. Verse 19, after his promise that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it or overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. He says to Peter, and he's saying this to us now, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, believers, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be whatever is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, that is, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Jesus just didn't say, I'm going to build my church, so sit back and enjoy the ride. Just like he spoke to me about allowing those living waters to build up inside me to overflow, to meet with that overflowing manifestation of Holy Spirit power on the outside, to join together. He's given us that authority now to work with him. I don't give you the keys to my car for you to put it in your pocket and say, nya, 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 nya. I got Pastor Lou's car keys. So what? One day you might go to use my car and I've decided to change the lock because you weren't going to use it anyway. And it's the same with the kingdom of heaven. Jesus didn't say, here's the keys of heaven. Anytime you're feeling like a good free feed or want to rest, come on up. The word specifically spoke by Jesus was, know what's lawful in heaven, know what's unlawful in heaven, and bind and loose accordingly, and I'll stand with you. Why? Because I've given you the keys to authority. Jesus just didn't say, I'll give you the keys and then I want them back. Verse 20 says, then he sternly and strictly charged and warned the disciples to tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth, Jesus began clearly to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the high priests and the scribes and be killed. And on the third day, he raised from death. And Peter took him aside to speak to him privately, began to reprove and charge him sharply, saying, God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you. Jesus turned away from Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're in my way. You're an offence and you're a hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not of the nature and the quality of God, but of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, that is, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me." The Amplified then says, "Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and his security here, shall lose it. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find it. Life, understanding, everlasting. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life, that is, his blessed life in the kingdom of God?" Excuse me. "Or what would a man give as an exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory, the majesty and the splendor of his Father and his angels. And then he will render account and reward every man in accordance with what he has done." Excuse me. "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." We're very, very, very interesting times. Jesus knew that at the point of his arrest, some disciples would run. Some would hide. Some perhaps would never come back. We're going to see that in the churches over the next few weeks and months as people bow to the pressures of what's going on. People trying to justify God's bringing judgment on nations. People trying to justify why same-sex marriage should be allowed. People trying to justify why things would happen. God in his word says, whatever you bind must already be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose must be acceptable and already loosed in heaven itself. Some of these things that churches are bowing the knees to may cost them a place in heaven. I don't want it to be this church. We've prayed revival, spoken breakthrough, taught great awakenings over the 20 plus years I've been in the church, or we've been in the church, and we haven't seen much. But when the Lord spoke to me about this passage the other day, I knew the timing was right. I knew the scenario was right. I knew that when Jesus saw those water carriers carrying living water, he said, "You call that living water? I've got the real deal here." And that's what he's offering his church today. Living water. Any of you are thirsty, come to me, Jesus' words, and you'll never thirst again. That's the living water I want, don't you? The living water that keeps me going no matter what's going on in the news, in my region, in my street, in my neighbour's place, in the places I do business. You know, we had an occasion over the road the other day where the school was celebrating an Asian market. They put on special food stalls. It was a celebration of their Indonesian studies. And they had this group of young thugs come in off the street to sort out one of the high school students. In the middle of this Asian market, in our high school, across the road, this brawl erupts. A teacher's injured, students are gone into panic mode, and the police are called in. In our school, in sunny old Victor Harbour, in this lovely, affluent community, the Bible warns about those sort of things going on. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be when the Son of Man returns. We are pretty close to what I would consider days of Noah. I know that the same-sex marriage issue is only going to be part of that thin edge of the wedge about what we're going to see. We had some friends just come back from a recent trip into Canada, where the same-sex marriage has been legalised for a few years now. And one of the latest court cases is regarding bestiality. A particular man there wants to marry his horse. The courts haven't given a yes. It's not funny. It would literally mean you're married to a nag. Only in that case. But he said, one of the saddest things we found out, that if a heterosexual couple say anything against same-sex relationships, and they do not bring up their children in a household that accepts same-sex relationships and teaches their children that it's acceptable, they can be taken to court with a huge fine and possible imprisonment. Now you tell me this world's not going crazy. Thin edge of the wedge. I can't understand why people can't look at these countries that have allowed all these sort of things to come in as law, stand back for a while and see what a mess it's made, and still say, it's going to be okay, folks. We're not going to be like anyone else. This is going to be wonderful. The only thing wonderful about it is it says to me that Jesus is coming back sooner than most people expect. And boy, oh boy, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the breakthrough before it comes. Amen?